the second meeting of the Zombies Anonymous Society. Good morning, my name is Dave Epstein, and I was a zombie too. Absolutely. You know, one of the things that continually amazes me about Zombie Nation, the human race, is that as broken and fallen and lost as we are, we're still capable of so much good, so much compassion, so much creativity, even genius at times. It's an amazing thing. It reflects the fact that Zombie Nation, the walking dead spiritually, are made in the image of God, the Creator God, who sustains our life moment by moment, the God who redeems us. We're made in His image. That image is broken, it's fractured, but it is not destroyed. And so anything good that comes from Zombie Nation comes from God. Comes from God. I want you to look at Ephesians 2 for a moment. There's an outline, I think, in the middle of your bulletin as well. Many of you know Ruth Reyes, who we've been praying for, this dear lady who a few days ago was on her way to a concert with the Ugnayan Choir in a benefit for the Philippines. And as she went to the concert, she stumbled and she fell and hit her face very badly on the subway stairs. We know that a few months ago, one of the leaders in the evangelical community in New York City was killed falling on the subway stairs. And she said that as she fell, as I talked with her a couple of days ago and prayed with her, she said she had blood coming everywhere, bleeding like crazy. And she said she had absolutely perfect peace. Perfect peace. She said to me the first thing she thought about as she fell and was bleeding and was there was something we shared here a few months ago about my trip to India when I thought for a few moments there that I was dying in that situation and that God gave me perfect peace. And she said, Pastor, that perfect peace is exactly what I had. And then she said the EMTs came. And she said the EMTs were amazing. Amazing. And one of them, as they comforted her, said to her, you're a very lucky lady. And she very lovingly said, it's really not about luck. I have peace. It's all about God's grace and God's love. And she said the EMTs were amazing. They were loving, they were caring. Thank God for New York City's professionals in these areas, amen? She said, their hands were like the hands of God. And then the Calvary folks started coming immediately. As soon as the word got out, even while they were stitching her, Calvary was already coming. Amen? We're made in the image of the God who is love. The gospel is about lostness, and it's about love. It's really it. Our lostness and God's love. That's the gospel. We are more broken and lost than we can ever know, and we are more loved and forgiven than we can ever imagine. That's the gospel. Look at Ephesians 2. Paul writes, as one who was Zombie Nation for a long, long time, even though he was a religious leader, and he writes, as for you, speaking to the Ephesian Christians now, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, in which you used to walk, the walking dead, Zombie Nation, before God's grace. when you followed the ways of this world, of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts, and like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But God, because of his great love and mercy with which he loved us, raised us up with Christ, seated us with Christ. Wow. All of us who've had a little time in this life would agree that one of the secrets of success in life, although it's counterintuitive and we don't want to do it most of the time, one of the secrets in being successful in life is being willing at times to see ourselves the way we really are. To be brutally honest with ourselves. And to see ourselves the way others see us at times. If we're not willing to do that, we will never ultimately succeed professionally in our careers. Because at some point it'll be over. The boss has had enough. We will never succeed in our relationships. Unless we're willing to see ourselves as we are and be willing by grace to take action to be a different person in that area. Ask our family members who love us, but they don't like us very much. And it's ultimately true about our relationship with God. If we're not willing to confront the honest truth, we can never, ever know his grace. So how did God see us then, and how does God see us now? That is the theme in Ephesians chapter 2. As we said last week, God looked at us before we knew Christ and said, "I see dead people." You see that? We were living corpses, according to the outline, according to the scriptures. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. We were the walking dead, the living dead. Let's pick up at chapter 4, verse 17, just to drive this home a little bit more today as we start new here with some new stuff. We were the living dead. We were zombies. Chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says, "I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord." He says, "I'm going to tell you something. I'm insisting on you hearing this and getting this. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do," speaking of the Gentiles in the sense of those still separated from grace in the grace of Christ, "in the futility of their thinking." God says, when I saw you before Christ as dead people, as zombies, your thinking was futile. It didn't succeed. It didn't take you where you needed to go. Futile. "You were darkened in your understanding." It makes sense that if our thinking is ineffective, amen, our thinking is futile. It is fruitless. It is profitless. Then our understanding is going to remain what? It's going to remain dark. And separated from the life of God. Separated from the life of God. Spiritually cut off, separated. Because of the ignorance that is in them and was in us due to the hardening of their hearts. The hardening of hearts. You mean even the hardening of hearts by smart people? People with degrees, people with professions, people with high IQs. Yeah. Yeah, our spiritual IQs and our moral IQs and our emotional IQs were low. Having lost all sensitivity becoming desensitized and insensitive. They have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. And you see, sometimes we get it wrong. We get the cart before the horse. It's not the expression of the lostness, the brokenness that is the root of it. That's just the evidence of who we were and what we did. The root is separation, amen? Separation from God, separation from ourselves, separation from each other is the root of it. Alienation. And that's what the gospel addresses. Christ reconnects us to God, to ourselves, to each other. Nations to nations. That's why one day we know he'll bring that kingdom and even the nations will live together in peace, goodwill toward men. That's the gospel. Praise God. We were dead. You don't need to turn to Ezekiel, but in Ezekiel chapter 37, which is the vision of the dry bones. How many remember that passage? It's an amazing passage. I was in Israel recently with a number of our Bible Institute students and congregants and radio listeners. And in Israel, many of the leaders have been reading Joel Rosenberg's books, who's a Jewish believer in the Messiah, and has been writing fiction and nonfiction about the Middle East. And Prime Minister Netanyahu has said recently that the vision and the prophecies of Ezekiel 37 are being fulfilled in the nation Israel today. That's the Prime Minister of Israel saying that. Amazing. But in the vision of the dry bones, God takes Ezekiel to the valley of the dry bones and he sees these bones and it says, and they were dead. They were dead bones. They were very, very, very dry. Dead. And of course, Ezekiel, as he hears God say to him, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can these dead bones come to life? And of course, Ezekiel does what we do. He says, God, only you know. And of course, God brings the bones to life. And he says, these bones are the nation Israel, the people of Israel, and they are dead. But I'm bringing them to life again. Jews and Gentiles are all zombie nation people, all of us. Only God can raise the dead. And he does. That's why the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, a member of zombie nation also, one of the Jewish members, in contrast to the Gentile members. But that's why Jesus said to him in John 3, this guy who was the leading teacher of the Jews in that day, the leading teacher, who's supposed to know Ezekiel. That's why you go to seminary. And Nicodemus comes by night and says to Jesus, we know, us guys in the know, in power, we know that you've come from God. Nobody can do what you do unless they come from God. And he was right about that. I'm sure he thought Jesus would be very impressed and very grateful. Finally, somebody who appreciates me. And Jesus didn't blink an eye. He said, you must be born again. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus did not have a clue. We, zombie nation, do not have a clue of how lost and broken we are. He says, this guy's got a doctorate in theology. He says, how can I enter my mother's womb again and be born? No clue. And Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. Because we're dead. We're dead. And he never had a clue. And Jesus said, it's about love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, God came for Zombie Nation. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God regenerates. God gives life. We thank him for that. So the walking dead, our spirit is separated from God. Our mind is dark. Conscience is seared. Our values get twisted up. Motives are suspect. Our emotions are crippled, dead, spiritually dead. I was a zombie. I was one of the walking dead. The scripture says I was also a cult member. Interesting. An active cult member. And I say, say what? I was never in a cult. Look at the scriptures. Ephesians 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. You see that? You followed the ways of this world. Wow. He's saying that as one of the walking dead, I was a follower. I was a member of a group, and I followed the world's ways. The world's ways. Clearly, in contrast, not God's ways. But I didn't know I was following the world's ways. I was just living. I was just living my life, right? Just living my life. Following the ways of this world. And we say, what is that exactly? I mean, probably everybody has a different answer for that, right? When 1 John, he talks about this world system, which is driven and characterized by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. He says, and this world system is not from God, and it's not permanent. But right now, it's dominant. And so when you think about that, I followed the ways of this world, the desires of my flesh. That is, I was driven by my flesh, not by my spirit. My flesh wants. And the scriptures teach that even for believers who've been justified by faith and whose spirit has come to life because of Christ, our flesh is still unredeemed, it says. Romans 8, waiting for the redemption of our bodies, that is the flesh, which is still unredeemed. That is, the flesh of the believer, the body, is going to be redeemed one day. You say, how does that work? Well, I was redeemed. I was justified at the moment of my faith in Christ. I'm being redeemed. I'm being saved, sanctified through a lifetime of becoming more like Christ by God's grace. And in the moment, my body will be raised and I will be glorified. But in the meantime, even as a believer, the flesh still reacts to the wrong desires. And so what we're saying is it's not only zombie nation without Christ that can live like zombies. Christians can live like zombies because we still have the flesh, right? The lust of the flesh. When I'm not led by the Spirit, I will be led by the flesh. And so what he says is, this is the world system. It's what my flesh wants. It's what the old person in me, the old man, the old woman wants. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes. What I see, right? What I see, and what I see, I covet. I want. Yeah. I'm greedy for that. I want that. I want to hoard that, right? I want it all. My eyes are bigger than my stomach sometimes. But I want it all. Amen. I want it all. I want to be happy. And the way to be happy is to be a hedonist. If I can just enjoy myself in any way I want with no restrictions, I'll be happy. Or materialism. If I can just have what I want, just get out of my face. If I can just have what I want, I'll be happy. Right? Stoicism. If I can just control everything and everyone in my life, I will be happy. We can go on and on. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life, the ego. I'm really tired of talking about myself today. Why don't you guys talk about me for a little while? The ego, right? Me, myself, and I. The original sin. Satan said, I will be like the Most High. I will rise up above the mountain of God, the throne of God, the stars of God. I will be God. Welcome to the new age and the old lies. All is one. All is God. I am God. The culture, the longest lasting and the most dangerous cult in the history of the world, the culture, New York City, Babylon. God hates Babylon and its culture, its beliefs, and its values. But God loves Babylonians, zombies. Amen? Glory to God. That's why Paul, when he writes to us in Romans chapter 12, he says, as believers now, it's so important that you present yourselves and your life to God, having been bought with a price. Give yourself to God, he says. And in giving yourself to God as a living sacrifice, he says, stop being conformed to this culture. Stop being conformed to this world, this system. Another way to understand this is stop letting the culture create you in its own image. Stop it. Refuse it. By the grace of God. Stop letting this culture turn you out on an assembly line to embrace its values and its way of thinking and its priorities. He said, stop it. And instead be transformed, be metamorphosized by the renewing of the mind. The addictions and the risky behavior that we've all known, and those of us that came to Christ late in life as adults have a lot of these kind of stories, sadly. Stop letting those destructive addictions and patterns and thought processes and behaviors, stop letting them rule you now as believers. Amen. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Those visible addictions and weaknesses and failures are just symptoms. The disease is separation from God. lostness. Amen. Wow. Eagerly submitting to the culture. You follow the ways of this world. God loves all people, all kinds of people. But he doesn't love everything we do. He loves people who support abortion on demand, but he hates taking the life of preborn children. He loves women who've had abortions and boyfriends who have encouraged it and politicians who have legalized it and judges who've supported it. God loves people. But God doesn't love everything we do as Zombie Nation. Amen? God knows that hard cases make bad laws. And there's always going to be brokenness. But he wants us in love to stand for what he believes. And then to try to help by loving people. Amen. By shining a light instead of just cursing the darkness. And so realize that as we live in Babylon, which God loves Babylonians very much, and we were Babylonians and Zombie Nation for a long time, realize that we're going to be pressured at times, even as believers, to continually be conformed to the culture. And the values of the culture, whether it's the issue of same-sex marriage or abortion on demand, God loves people of every sexual orientation. But God doesn't love every lifestyle, every act he doesn't love, heterosexual and homosexual. We're going to be increasingly pressured as a evangelical community to align ourselves with the culture. Because if you want to have a seat at the table, you got to pay the piper. And the key is to love people. And to stand for what we believe is true and right. To stand for what we believe is commensurate with nature and natural law and biblical truth and morality. But to do it with love. Knowing that even when you do it with love, you're not always going to be popular. And we're going to hear from the powers that be at times. And the powers that be are the institutions that God originally raised up for good that always do not always do good. And we're part of that because we're human too. Institutions like government, education, religion, the media, the arts, all of which are good in their conception and in their impact often, but which can also be used badly. And so we're going to hear occasionally from people God loves very much, like former council chairman Christine Quinn, and also from New York Governor Cuomo, and from the new mayor of New York City, Mr. de Blasio. We're going to hear from them occasionally in statements that are made and have been made even this week, that those people who are not in favor of same-sex marriage and abortion on demand have no place in New York City or in New York State. Those comments are being made. We need to remember God loves Zombie Nation. We all are or have been part of that. And we're to love people. But we are not to allow that pressure or the desire to have a seat at the table, whatever that means, to keep us from lovingly honoring what we believe is true and right. Amen? Because the world will squeeze us, and the institutions that have the power will squeeze the most. The key is always, God loves zombies. But we're not zombies anymore. We need to love those who are still in that spiritual darkness. And these policies reflect that lack of biblical understanding and even a lack of appreciating natural law as well. But we've all got to grow up. Amen. So be strong by God's grace. Love people, but don't be intimidated by the culture. You can see why I decided this was enough for one day. In the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and all God's former members of Zombie Nation said, amen. Amen and amen.